I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Cybercrime Radio's Women in Cyber, where we'll explore what it's like to work in one of the fastest growing industries in tech, why your background isn't a barrier to creating a successful career, and why it's so crucial we get more women into this field. I'm here today with Amanda Adams, Senior Director, European Alliances at CrowdStrike, a leading cybersecurity company on a mission to stop breaches. To learn more about CrowdStrike, visit CrowdStrike.com. Amanda, welcome. It's so great to have you as a part of the series.
So glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Amanda, you have a background in channel management, building successful partnerships, spending time at Cisco prior to CrowdStrike. Do you want to start out by sharing with us a little about your career and what led you to where you are today?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Hillary. So just to begin, I actually started at Cisco in really marketing operations, right? So you had mentioned that I was in channels. I haven't always been in channel management or alliances. I was able to begin my career at Cisco. I was fortunate enough to have a connection and a champion early on who hired me first as an intern and then joined in the US partner marketing organization. And it was a great experience to learn all things partner, how they operate, how Cisco obviously supports their partners. But really, I was focused on partner management, specifically in marketing. I had the opportunity to move from California to New York, actually Manhattan, where I worked for Cisco for a bit, same position. But then I actually switched to a partner company selling into the Manhattan market. Direct, right? So I went to partner sales, which was vastly different than marketing ops. From there, I moved to Tenable, and that was my first shift into cybersecurity specifically. And that was the first position I had at channel management. And it's interesting because the referral that I had into Tenable actually came from one of my old managers at Cisco, right? So it's all about your network and who you know. And she pulled me into Tenable, and it was a great position because that's really where I was able to expand not only channel management skills, but into management and the larger partners. The connections that I had at Tenable led to CrowdStrike, and I have been here for almost 4 years.
Awesome. And so at CrowdStrike, what are some of the topics and issues that you work with on a daily basis in your role?
So it really varies by day, right? If I was to look at my schedule and the calendar, I have set meetings with our partners. And so across Europe, we work with a variety of organizations that resell our products or add services on top of the CrowdStrike technology. And so we will have meetings with external companies like these partners. I also have internal meetings on a daily basis to really advance the agenda and priorities of our local team. Seeing that CrowdStrike is an American company, the European struggles that we have is that a lot of the decisions are still made out of California or the States. And so I will spend time after the workday ends of advancing basically with legal and finance on the programs that we need to make our partnership successful. I also deal with conflict, right? So I deal with channel conflict, both internally with our sales, as well as with the partner sales team. Perfect example today is I actually had 3 conflict calls of situations where either it was a communication issue, where one of the partner reps did something that they shouldn't have, or our own sales individuals caused confusion and an opportunity. And so it's clarifying, being a mediator between the parties and making sure that we resolve issues in a way that's beneficial for both organizations. That happens every single week.
Very cool. And my yes, I have a background in marketing as well. That's what I did before coming onto Cybercrime Magazine, is that marketing background and that base allows you to manage conflict very well. Because that was my experience, is that there's always some kind of conflict happening. There's always a fire you're putting out. And so that probably really helped you and helps you continually in the role that you're currently in.
You know, what's interesting is that it is beneficial for people to have, and I am a proponent of like rotation. So people experience roles outside of their daily life, right? So starting in marketing operations, I actually had a very strong foundation with finance, but also operations around Excel, the framework, and then marketing. Yes, marketing and sales hates each other on a daily basis, you know? So it's seeing that perspective as well as with our partners, you really get to tap into your creative side, because we do create campaigns, programs, events that are now virtual. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah.
With our partners, but also with our sales team. So yeah, definitely conflict management is one of that, but it's a great experience.
That's awesome. And so changing topics now a little bit, into cybersecurity. So this is a very broad question, but I think you're going to approach it in a really interesting way. Why does cybersecurity matter to society?
What a loaded question. I mean,
I know.
That's like, why do you want to solve world peace? No, that is a, that's a great question. It's something that everybody should consider. I think at CrowdStrike, our mission is to stop breaches. And it sounds kind of hokey pokey if you think about it, but at the end of the day, we're all here every single day to do what's best for our clients, to protect our clients, as well as the environment, the society as a whole, right?
Right.
Cybersecurity matters because what we do as an organization, what other security companies are doing by providing best practices, policies, infrastructure that supports organizations. I always think about like small businesses, like mom and pop shops, or even like my grandparents, where maybe they don't have the amount of money that a Fortune 100 has to spend on firewalls and all of the equipment that's needed for their own environment.
Right.
And if there was somebody to use malware, or if somebody was able to click on a malicious link via email, I mean, cybersecurity firms today that provide them protection, and it doesn't have to cost $1 million to do that. So that organization doesn't have to pay like ransomware or lose money. And if it's a small mom and pop shop, especially this year with they're just fighting to stay alive.
Yeah.
I think of it more of like cybersecurity is essential because we're helping the economy, especially protecting those smaller organizations, which if something was to happen, if a breach was to happen, they would most likely have to shut down. Right.
Yeah, they would. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so building on that loaded, very heavy question, why does cybersecurity matter to you personally?
Well, if you knew me personally, you would say, how did you ever end up in cybersecurity? Like I grew up playing sports. I was never heavily invested in STEM fields. It wasn't even a thing when I was in school. I was a good student, but I wasn't really invested into like, or interested in science or math, like, you know, just passed by just fine, but I was more invested in athletics. So if you knew me personally, you'd be like, how did that even happen? I'm invested from a cybersecurity standpoint, because going back to that very first position at Cisco, my first manager who was that champion and advocate for me, I actually knew her from a very young age. So I went to school with her son. It's usually how life works out, where you get positions from people you know, right?
Yeah.
And Linnell was able basically to show me the world of obviously Cisco, but then security at the end of the day. And I still use her for guidance and, you know, conversations from a mentoring standpoint. But she showed me the opportunity within technology. And then obviously as I grew specifically cybersecurity. And it's super important to me now to be in this field, because I am within CrowdStrike, I mean, we can talk about, I don't have specific diversity numbers, but there are never more than two women in a room with my partners or with our clients. And so I see that there's a huge gap, and we add so much value to conversations, to decisions that are being made. Having a different perspective from a woman, and also just diversity in general, cybersecurity would benefit as a whole if it wasn't just middle-aged white men making decisions from a boardroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now I'm super passionate about it, because I feel like we can do so much more for the world as well as for our organizations if more women were invested.
So that's a really nice segue into the final portion of this episode, which is, we have talked about in this series, but then also in other interviews with other folks from the cybersecurity industry, about how girls tend to drop out of STEM concentration, since that is a thing now. It wasn't a thing when I was in school either. They tend to start dropping out of concentrations in school for STEM around middle school, and how it's really important that we try to kind of make that trend either stabilize or, you know, increase, what have you. And you mentioned mentorship, which is so important. So why, you know, how can we encourage women to pursue STEM fields when they might not have that, you know, natural predisposition, like you were talking about liking athletics. And for me, like I went to school for psychology, but you know, here we are. What would your advice be there? And how do you think we can encourage girls and young women to pursue STEM fields?
I think that people have a just predisposition of what cybersecurity is, and you have to be super engineering focused and be able to code and do all of these things to work for cybersecurity firms. There are very smart people that come from financial backgrounds or lawyers. There are so many ways to come into cybersecurity. And I feel like women or young girls don't understand the possibilities. So if we look at the programs that are available for, you know, middle school, high school, yes, investing in engineering, mathematics, technology, all of those science fields of encouraging their creativity and desire for those fields is really important. But then if we look at from a college standpoint of targeting women outside of, in my opinion, mathematics or engineering to come and join us for marketing or for sales, for avenues outside of just traditional STEM positions. Right. I feel like that is a way that gets overlooked quite a bit if we think about it. I push our sales leaders all the time to, I don't want to say increase their field of applications from, you know, diverse candidates or women candidates, but at every level of sales organizations, because the reality is that you can join as a sales and bump over to pre-sales or technical support,
right,
where it's a different function and women just aren't exposed to it. Right. And so you don't know what's possible until you actually get into this world, and it's just pulling people into that world. I actually read something too, where it was about how men are hired on like their possibilities. People will say, well, you don't necessarily have experience in this exact role, mm-hmm, right? But we see your potential, and so we're going to hire you on that. Whereas women are more unlikely to be hired on potential. And that is something where if I could change the subconscious bias on people of to say, hey, you need to also look at the potential of this candidate. They may not be a perfect fit for what's on paper, but they'll be a fit. I push our hiring managers, our recruiting team, even my friends in the industry to say, hey, how many women do you have on your team? We actually run more profitable businesses over time too. So there's so many different questions, and it's just the lack of awareness, I think, within our current orgs that could open up the gates for women.
I like your answer to that for a couple of reasons. I like that you're calling out that people don't necessarily need to pursue STEM to end up in cybersecurity. That's kind of diversity in itself, right? And that's something that we hear from hiring managers, you know, such as yourself, where it's like, I don't need someone that has had the traditional path. There are so many people that find themselves here that have non-traditional paths, have, you know, some of the women we've been talking to, microbiology backgrounds, et cetera. And that makes us more diverse, and it makes us each approach, you know, solutions differently, right? I mean, that must, mm-hmm, be something that, and I like that you're bringing up how, you know, there's a couple of barriers for women to get into fields in many different roles and responsibilities because they're looking at the qualifications and they're thinking, I don't have all that, so I'm not going to even apply. Mm-hmm. Like we spoke, mm-hmm, with one woman who said that she's had 50 applicants and only one has been a woman, and that's awful. And it's probably because, mm-hmm, the qualifications are intimidating or seem too, you know, extreme for what her background might be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do think it's, you know, and this is going to get really deep, but it's women like to get permission to do things, mm-hmm, right? We, mm-hmm, like to make sure that it's okay. And before we actually start executing on what we want to do or applying for things, and men just don't do that. They just do it. The first manager, going back to Cisco, when that was my first job. So Cisco was my first job out of school, and I was super tentative on making decisions, and that's not who I am as a person. And she actually pulled me aside after 3 months and she goes, I don't know what's up with you, but you need to know that you have permission to make decisions, to be proactive, to get things done with your peers in this organization, right? Like, you don't need to wait for anybody to tell you to do things. Obviously, that's granted, I didn't have any authority to make decisions for like budget or any of that fun stuff, but it was like, just do your job, be unapologetic about it, put your head down and focus on your job, and good things will happen. And I do think that women tend to pause to make sure that it's not going to upset people if we say we're doing this and here's why, right? And so my whole goal is empowering other women and speaking up for other women to say, listen, you can do this. Here's why, or here's how. And I'll support you to do that. I do that within CrowdStrike every single day with our sales team and my own team. But yeah, I'm super passionate about that.
Awesome. And you've given some great nuggets of advice throughout your answers, but is there any other advice that you've received throughout the course of your career that you would like to share with listeners?
I would say have a strong base of women or those connections that you have that understand the challenges, because I still face challenges every single day. There are certain things where I will respond to something and it will, and this is not current life, but it's, you know, I'll respond to something and it's viewed as emotional. And so then I'll get more upset because it wasn't emotional. I was just being passionate about something and trying to argue my point, just like other people in our organization do. And so when you have somebody to say, hey, this is how I responded, or this is how I'm going to respond to this situation, and you can bounce those ideas off of you. One, really nice to have somebody who understands the situation that you're in. Just being a woman and getting interrupted and having to reinforce what you've already said, basically say, yes, thank you so much for calling out my point that I just made 5 minutes ago. Just those pointers are really important, and having a really strong community of other women or men that are supportive of you that you can call on when you're having a really hard day is really important. And the last thing that I'll say is that my previous boss at CrowdStrike, she said, you know, save the emails. You'll get emails basically to say either good job on this or praise from those who are hard to get praise from. And usually they're men. Save those emails, print them out. And when you're having a really hard day, just look at that. And I think that's something that we don't do enough of. I know I should still do it more, but I've literally printed off emails just so if I'm having a hard day, there it's the affirmations of, I know I'm here for a reason. I can do this job. Today was a hard day, but tomorrow's a new one.
I love that. That's great advice. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a fun conversation, and I think that our listeners are really going to value your contributions as a part of the series.
Thanks for having me, Hillary.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Amanda Adams, Senior Director European Alliances at CrowdStrike, developers of the Falcon platform, the industry's first cloud-native endpoint protection platform. To learn more about our sponsor, CrowdStrike, visit crowdstrike.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.